Ingham County officials recently decided to give taxpayers some of their money back. Late last month, the County Board of Commissioners approved Ingham's 2016 budget. It includes a reduction in the millage used to pay for the Ingham Health Plan. Now, recent projections underestimated the number of residents that would become covered by Obamacare and Michigan's Medicaid expansion, and the IHP's balance ballooned to about $10 million. Meanwhile, the county is also considering expanding a review into how contracts at the county are awarded following the firing of two employees in its IT department, Chief Information Officer Michael Ashton and IT Project Manager Frank Chain. Reportedly violated the county's code of ethics when they attended sports events and got other perks from a county vendor. For his views on both of these developments, we welcome back Chairman of the Ingham County Board of Commissioners, Brian McCrane. Welcome back.
Well, thank you for having me back.
This incident, or the incidents involving Michael Ashton, the head of the county's IT department, set several processes into motion. One was a Mason Police Department investigation. Has that determined anything that you can share with us?
That has not come back at this point, no.
Okay. When do you expect to hear back from the police department?
I'm not sure on the time frame of that, Mark.
Okay. Now, you wrote in a City Pulse piece that you need to understand how this happened and what steps need to be taken to prevent another. Is it clear to you, Brian, whether Mr. Ashton knowingly violated the county code of conduct? Is that clear, or was it a matter of ignorance here?
I think we saw some things that were troubling. As you know, there was a FOIA request that came our way as we were compiling that. We saw some things that were really concerning. We looked into them. We found reason for a reason to support our dismissal. So we were disappointed. It was information that caught us by surprise. I think people have indicated that there might have been rumors going around for a while about this. I think seeing something like this substantiated was troubling. So as we were compiling that request, we delved into it. We found troubling evidence, and we acted quickly. In fact, I think it was within a business day or two, that that investigation took place and that a judgment was rendered.
And the county has also launched a formal review of internal controls to determine if there is a need for systemic change. Anything to share on that front? What's going to be happening here?
Absolutely, and I don't think that we suspect anything. Certainly, we do operate a well-run government. We've never had this sort of thing happening before, but we do want to look into it, make sure that there are ways that we can detect these sort of things earlier. Certainly, having a Freedom of Information Act request come in is not the way that you want to come about this information. Certainly, you'd love to deal with it internally, but we're looking into ways that we could find out, how is this going on? Are these things going on? How would we find out sooner? How could we act sooner? And then, of course, we're looking at ways to just make sure that we're reminding people of our ethics policy, reminding people that this kind of behavior is not tolerated. We are a government entity. We just can't operate business like this. So we don't suspect that this stuff is widespread, but we're certainly taking actions to be proactive and make sure that people understand that it won't be tolerated and that there are consequences.
Is it your inclination to impose stronger controls?
We, through our County Services Committee, have been looking at a number of those things.
What might those look like?
We started right out of the gates with doing training on our ethics policy and making sure that every department was reminded again of what we abide by. So we started with that. We're going to be doing some spot checking in some departments. Clearly, IT was in our focus. We did go back. We're starting to look at contracts. We've been looking at contracts. We've been doing a review. We anticipate that we may be doing that with other departments too as just a sort of an internal controls piece. But there's been a list of items and ideas generated by our committee, by our controller, and we're going to be exploring those as the next few weeks go on. Of course, we're coming into the holiday season. Our meeting schedule does taper off a little bit, but we expect to take this seriously, and we expect to take this into 2016.
Now, you wrote a column for City Pulse, which was the publication that filed the FOIA.
Correct.
In the first place, and then you wrote a column for the City Pulse that involved a lot of what you've just already shared with us here. Now, County Clerk Barb Byram responded to your column also in the City Pulse, and she minced no words when she weighed in on this last week. She says there's no way the City Pulse story could have been the first time you or others in county government would have learned about this. I'll quote from the article here. On numerous occasions, I expressed serious concerns about unethical activity. Anyone who claims they were surprised was not listening or chose not to pay attention, unquote. Clarify for us. You're claiming that the first you heard about this was through the City Pulse FOIA, or after the City Pulse FOIA. Clerk Byram is strongly suggesting here that this was a topic of discussion prior to that.
The topic of discussion prior had been IT, the IT department's performance. The clerk was unsatisfied with a number of things in her office. She had brought those to our attention, just performance issues. And I'll tell you, with many of our departments, just in the past number of years, we've had a variety of budget cuts. And so I don't doubt that many of our departments are understaffed. But I would say I think we were monitoring that. In fact, our County Services Committee had been meeting quite frequently with our IT director, with Mr. Ashton, to address those performance issues. So performance certainly had been an issue. She was dissatisfied with the level of performance she was receiving, and we had been taking those issues seriously. I think in the City Pulse article, there had been it had revolved around one line at the end of one email in the midst of all of that performance review, which had suggested coincidence when a vendor had been in a meeting with IT staff. I think as I've reread that, and certainly we've seen these emails over and over, as I've reread that, I keep looking back and saying, what could I have read in there? Was there something that I wasn't seeing to see that there was one line in one email that talked about coincidence? I don't think that that's enough to have been a smoking gun. I think she was unhappy that a vendor had been in a meeting. And I think when I read it, I thought, we have a vendor at a meeting who's looking to deal with these performance issues, so we're just cutting to the chase. You know, I've looked back through those emails. I think a number of people looked through those emails. I didn't see any note of impropriety. So certainly, again, I think when this came out via the FOIA, which again was emails between, what was specifically requested was emails between our IT director and certain vendors. And it was in that these situations, these unethical situations were unearthed. So we had been serious about dealing with performance, and I think to confuse performance and being unethical is again confusion.
Hmm. She goes on to say that County Controller Tim Dolahanty is, quote, responsible for the activities of all county staff, unquote, suggesting, I guess, that he has not done his job. Is that worth looking into?
I think it would probably be the controller's opinion, and certainly mine, that we don't want to operate government or any business, any agency with an attitude of mistrust. Certainly this has made us all open our eyes, but I don't think it's healthy to be operating. I think you do have your employees and you trust that they're going to be behaving appropriately. And yes, of course, it's his responsibility. These are employees who report to him and through the IT director. But I don't think any of this was out in the open. And so I think, in fact, in some of these emails, there were mentions of, please don't say anything, don't say that, don't tell anyone. So I think there were some things that were being hidden. And like I said, I think this is now causing us to open our eyes. And again, I think this is a healthy discussion that we're having at the county to make sure that we're reminding people of our ethics policies, that we do take them seriously, and that we're going to be doing things to strengthen them in the future.
And the county, I understand, is hiring an outside auditor. Is that higher related to this, to these incidents?
Are you talking about the auditor regarding the health plan?
Well, I'm trying to clarify. I know Mary Lanois, a former county employee, treasurer, I want to say.
Former county controller, yes. The Mary Lanois issue is actually related to the Ingham Health Plan, and I know we'll be talking about that next. But okay. I will be saying that there are a whole list of things, a whole host of ideas that we're considering, certainly bringing in fresh set of eyes, bringing in outside consultants or auditors to investigate some of these contracts is something that has been talked about.
Okay. Now, the county's relationship with the Ingham Health Plan has changed dramatically here in the past year or so. Voters just last November approved a new millage to pay the IHP to provide medical services for people who fall through the cracks. But over time, it was found that there were thousands fewer of these people in the post-Obamacare landscape then were projected, and a multi-million dollar surplus accrued. The Board of Commissioners now has gone back and cut the millage and made that a part of the 2016 budget. It was getting $3.5 million a year after the millage. Do you know what the cut reduces that number to?
The cut should be reducing the millage to about $2 million.
Okay. And this is about $2 million a year coming in to pay for services for around It's around 1,000 people from what I'm led to believe. Is that about right?
Well, and I'll actually clarify that a little bit, too. We cut it down from about 3.5 million to about 2 million. What we've also done as of recent, there's been some troubling developments in the state with funding for community mental health. And so the Board of Commissioners did make the determination based on conversations, of course, that we've had that mental health is a critical health service. So of that $2 million, we're actually splitting a million will be the amount that's set aside for the Ingham Health Plan. And another $1 million will be set aside for mental health services through community mental health of Clinton, Eaton, Ingham for people that do qualify under the millage language.
And it will make clear that the Ingham Health Plan is an organization that contracts with the county administer these medical services. It's not insurance and it's not a county department. And once they have the money, it's out of the county's hands.
That's
right?
Correct.
Right. Do they have, I mean, they ended up with quite a bit of public money that they didn't need, though. That seems to be the takeaway from this whole episode. Is that a fair way to assess this?
I would put it like this. I think that when I came onto the Board of Commissioners over 7 years ago, the Ingham Health Plan was serving over 10,000 people. It was a great program. I think commissioners throughout or since its inception have supported it, have been thrilled with it, have been eternally grateful that it's been able to serve the number of people that it has who were uncovered. The dynamic changed, the landscape changed so quickly after Obamacare, after the Affordable Care Act, and we had been very successful in this community and getting people onto other medical programs, onto Medicaid, onto Medicare, onto wherever they could get. We were very, very successful. And so I think we were so successful as a healthcare community that the numbers just tumbled. Yet the same amount of revenue was still coming into the plan. So yes, more money was coming in than was needed to support the rapidly dropping number. It does seem like the health plan has stabilized at around 1,000, though it's still a little bit tough to say where it's going to end up. I mean, there's still things changing. Of course, the national conversation seems like, you know, whoever comes in as the new administration could change things. I doubt it, but there's still some unknowns. So we think we're settled in around 1,000. It could be up to 2,000 at some point. But bottom line, it is a much smaller number. We want to make sure that these people are covered. The Ingham County Board has been very clear about making sure that we have coverage for everybody in our community to some degree. And we do see the health plan as a partner in doing that. So in looking at those numbers, we did realize that they'd shrunk. We did realize that the health plan had a fund balance, and we engaged in conversations over the past 6 months to really get a handle on that, get a handle on numbers, get a handle on costs, get a handle on the administrative overhead cost, which was a big sticking point for a number of us.
That was an issue. I know this was discussed. What is the health plan going to do with $10 million that it ostensibly appears not to have needed, though?
Sure. And of course, that's a discussion for their board of directors. Certainly, we were aware of that balance. There's nothing we can do. We don't have any recourse. We can't go ahead and grab it. But I think we did engage in a conversation with their board that said, if we wind up paying for the medical claims for the people on this plan, you've still got a budget. You've got staff. You've got overhead. You've got other things you're doing. You've got your internal IT or, heck, just even rent to pay for. And I think they've got relationships with a number of community agencies that they do support in terms of enrollment or providing service. So they have a much bigger budget than the up to $1 million we're going to be providing them. So I do expect that fund balance will be decreasing as they just operate over the next couple of years.
Well, what do you say to people who ask about the projections? I mean, clearly the projections were way off, weren't they? I mean, your fellow commissioner, Randy Schaefer, commented this was, quote, the biggest fiasco we've ever had, unquote. Some number of people seem to think this got really screwed up. How do you respond to those people?
I think we all were disappointed that the numbers had dropped so quickly and that awareness of that came to us so late. As part of our discussion over the past 6 months, again, we really wanted to get a handle on those numbers. We wanted to talk projections. We wanted to talk numbers, how much it would take to operate this, who we're going to be serving, who are those people, what services. So we had a lot of behind-the-scenes conversations, a lot of committee work on this. I think our commissioners were very engaged in getting to the bottom of this. And as we move forward with the health plan, we are putting a contract in place. We realized we'd never actually had a contract in place with them, that this had just been sort of operating. You know, the money came in, it went to them, they were doing a good job. So we got serious about looking at this. We're talking about oversight issues too. And so you mentioned the Mary Lanois contract. We've been looking at ways that we can go in and make sure that only millage-eligible people are being served by the county's money. We've also taken strides to put our health officer on the board. She will be joining their board as we move forward. So I think it was a great opportunity to have discussion, to learn more, and again, to exert our oversight. certainly we trust the we hope that the public trusts us. This is a lot of money coming our way, and we want to make sure that we're doing the best we can with these limited resources.
Well, do you fear that voters may be more wary of county millages in the future?
I think so, absolutely, and certainly that's something we'll be thinking about in the next couple of years as this moves forward. I'll tell you this: as we look to rewriting this when the time comes, all these issues are going to play out, and we'll certainly be thinking about what is the appropriate amount of dollar, who are the appropriate people served, and what is the whole millage eligibility piece too. I think we are very restrictive in what we put out there. Personally, I'd be interested in seeing this maybe morph into a human services millage down the road.
We want to thank the chairman of the Ingham County Board of Commissioners, Brian McGrain. We've been talking about the future of the Ingham Health Plan and about the investigations into how to move forward with the county's code of ethics and contracts in the county. Brian, thank you.
Mark, thank you.